Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN.
You're listening to Lou.
Ann is in Naperville. Hi, Ann.
Hi, how are you?
Your calls all morning till 10, where there are no stupid questions.
But Lou, what about those deep found stains that we get in toilets?
Right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome in the Mr. Fix-It Show at 710 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. Got a lot coming up on today's show today. Remember we did our little union show where we had a bunch of union people in the other few weeks ago, and someone sent in some information about an organization called the Jane Addams Resource Corporation, the JARC, and we're going to talk to the Senior Director of Training. That might be something you want to look into if you're looking to learn new skills. Might lead you to a good-paying manufacturing career. Maybe you need some help with reading, math, English, or computers. The JARC is a local organization that helps to provide high-quality skills and training and support services to ensure that people that work don't live in poverty, which I think is really cool. We have a noodle or two that you can throw in the washing machine and you're absolutely going to love. That's coming up first this morning. And then this morning we say good morning to Doma Tipongo and to Sam Panionovich. As you know, Sam has accepted a position in Las Vegas where he's going to be like a super-duper radio host on the big satellite?
The big VSIN. Yes, Vegas, yeah. Stats Information Network.
Which is on satellite, and it's, what is it? It's
204, XM 204.
So the gift that Lindsay and I got you is a little bit of a, well, it's for you to, oh, you can go ahead. Well, you can open it whenever you want. I will tell you that I do pride myself on my wrapping capabilities. I'm not really proud with that one, because I just had enough paper. And then, as you can see, I had to do a little patchwork.
You write like such a lefty, too. You're
I'm a
southpaw.
I'm a lefty.
Yeah. Thank you so much for this.
You're welcome.
Anything good?
I think you're going to like it. I think it's you can go ahead and read the message on the package if you want.
Sam, don't forget your start in traditional radio. Good luck in Vegas, Lou and Lindsay.
Yeah. I didn't say love Lou and Lindsay?
No.
Oh, sorry. Oh, we love you. I'll say that on the air.
Nice gear, by the way. You guys are decked out in chicken dinner hoodies.
We got chicken dinner hoodies today. I'm the red. Oh, no. You're the red. I'm the blue.
And we have another chicken. We have a chicken coming in studio later in the show.
Later on this morning, Orion is bringing in a whole flock of chickens, and we're going to have fresh eggs. We're going to make omelets. No, we're not.
This is awesome.
So anyway, today's your last day broadcasting on WGN, and then when do you move?
I move on February 10th. I'm on the air the 11th. I do this shift today. I'm on with John after this, and then tomorrow, Rick Pearson, Dean Richards. But yeah, this is the last weekend for me, the last time I'll scan the ID, park in the lot.
So here's the thing I just want to, I'm very happy for you, but the thing that I'm most concerned with, of course, is with me, right? Because it really is always about me. And the thing is, your lovely parents would, when we would be on a remote sometimes, they would bring us, where would they bring us this cookie trays from the beautiful bakery?
Calumet
Bakery. I want your parents to know that while they may be losing a son to Las Vegas, they still have me here in Chicago. Okay? So if they ever feel the need to be closer to you and want to bring some baked goods to a remote or something when we're on the south side? Like where, Lindsay, when are we going to ALSEP? When's that coming up? Fox Home Center?
April something.
In April. If your parents want to stop by and kind of have like a connection with me through you type of thing.
You know they're listening too. You're doing this right.
He knows what he's doing.
Wait.
Are you
think I'm new? I've been doing this for a long time, my friend. I know exactly what I'm doing.
This is not new to Lou too.
I am so sad that you're going, but boy, those baked goods are so delicious.
Boston cream. I'm going to miss you a lot, but
Exactly. I'm not going to miss you that much. No, I will. All right. Well, we'll talk with you later, Sam,
Thank
this
you.
Morning. You're welcome. 7:14 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. The big game's tomorrow. I don't know what you're doing for it. I'm going to my brother-in-law's for a Super Bowl party. What are you doing? I didn't even ask you what you're doing for
this. We don't know yet. I think we're going to have some friends over.
I mean, I don't have a dog friends. In this hunt at all. I mean, I really...
No. I just go for the food.
I'm not a Patriots fan. I think Tom Brady's amazing. There's some connection, right? There's like a kicker on the Eagles that's from Lions Township or something
Jake
like
Elliott.
That.
Jake Elliott, yes,
right?
Sir. Yep.
Local kid, right? So, I mean, are there any local kids on the Patriots? I don't want to throw that out there. It could be possible that there's a
I don't believe
Chicago
so.
Kid from on the Patriots, maybe?
I don't think
so.
Or
no, there but is. There's a, don't the, wait. Isn't there a former Bear that's a coach, too? Like, maybe that's for the Eagles, too. Is there, like, a defensive coach that used to be a Bear?
Well, I know for the Patriots, at least, Teddy Karras is on the O-line. He went to Illinois. He's
okay.
An Illinois guy.
Right.
There's a couple guys on the Eagles. Jake Elliott, you mentioned, the kicker, who actually didn't play football until he was a sophomore. He was a tennis player.
No way.
And then they thought, hey, you know, you might not be a bad kicker. So they brought
him on.
Boy,
how do you do that?
We had the coach on Preps Plus this year. He was like, yeah, I got real lucky with that one. But Teddy Karras played at Illinois, so he's on New England. And then Jake Elliott for the Eagles, the kicker.
I know that football is going through a transition now, you know, with a lot of people tuning away and, you know, the all the studies and stuff that go into the terrible, you know, hitting and how that affects people long term. But do you think we're ever going to see a woman playing professional football? Like, even particular in the kicking role?
I don't know.
I mean, you've got some talented... I mean, I don't ever see a woman on the O-line or being a running back. Just the size part of it would just be a huge disadvantage, I would think. But as a kicker...
You know what makes me think that might not happen? I was looking at what's the women's football league, but they got them wearing lingerie.
Oh, well, that's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, but the fact that it exists. But
I know you're a big fan.
But I but they actually have skill. Have you seen some of the hits? Like, I mean.
No.
Well, but. It's okay.
We haven't.
I have not seen it, but I mean, those are. Are they wearing full gear? Or are they in?
They're wearing like shoulder pads and then everything, and a helmet and everything else.
Shoulder
is.
Pads and a bikini, pretty much.
Oh, pretty much.
On.
But it was. But then you.
And
look
are
at
they
it,
still? I mean, we are in this precipice of time right now where we're fighting like crazy for equality for women. Are they still doing this?
They're
like, does
still
it still exist?
It still exists. And the more frustrating thing is,
oh my gosh,
is that when you look at them, you can tell these are actually athletes. And the fact that they have to be in this form of the sport
is, I mean,
kind of
if they want to have a women's football league, great, then put them in the gear and let them play.
Yeah, let them play for real.
And because they're physically able to, you know, in other words, it's like body frames to like body frames. Not like
exactly
men against women where you got some 400-pound guy beating up on a, you know, 105-pound woman.
So I kind of feel like in a world where that exists, we might not see for a long time a woman kicker.
Well, my son played football at St. Ignatius. I wish I remembered this girl's name. Her first name might have been Lindsay. They had a kicker.
That's about the only thing we have in common.
What?
That would be the only our name.
You mean her athletic ability?
Yeah.
And they had a kicker, and she was unbelievable. And she was this blonde, she had this long blonde hair that she would tuck up in her helmet and come running out there. And I'll tell you what, that team was an average team that he was on, but when those boys lined up to protect that kicker for an extra point, nobody got through.
Mm.
I mean, they really buckled down and pushed hard to make, and she was good. Like, she could really kick the ball.
There have been kickers in college, female kickers in college, and we just got a text from the 815. Newman Catholic High School down in Sterling, down south,
yep.
They had a girl kicker this year, according to the text.
I mean, the kicking part of it, right? I mean, there's some amazing soccer players or whatever that have those skills, and I don't know. I think it'd be cool. I can't wait.
So cool. I can't
wait.
That'd be
awesome. Yeah, I think that'd be great. All right, 312-981-7200 is our phone. That's I don't know. What were we talking about? Women kickers on football. It's something shiny
went
by. Right. Here's Mike in Elgin. Mike, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Lou. How you doing?
I'm terrific, sir. How can I help you?
Oh, I just wanted to give you a heads up, man. The moth people are coming. The moth people, they're coming. You gotta hide your sweaters, Lou. Get out of there. They're coming, Lou. The moth people.
My what?
The moth people?
The moth people.
Let me just clarify that he had an issue with his bath water. He had a complete... He did not say that to me when I picked up the phone and screened that call. So,
all right, well, you Mike? Do it. Thanks, Mike.
Watch out for those moth people.
Yeah, be careful, and thank you for calling. Let's try Todd. Todd, is your question actually about a water heater?
Yes, it is.
All right, good. Then you can speak.
All right, I got a 7-year-old water heater, and when it fires up overnight, I get it leaking from the pressure relief valve. I've replaced the pressure relief valve twice, and I checked the expansion tank, and the expansion tank still has pressure in it. What do you think it is?
Huh. Tell me about what's the temperature set at?
I don't exactly know. It's got settings where it's A, B, C. I got it set on A, which is the lowest amount.
Yeah, all right.
And like I said, I wake up every day, I go down there, check the water heater, and it's usually a puddle of water.
Under the pressure relief.
Correct.
And you've already changed it.
Twice.
Wow. Who's the brand of that?
I think it's A.O. Smith.
Yeah. And it's 7 years old.
Yeah.
Which probably have a 7-year-old... It probably has like a 7-year warranty on them, I guess, or 5-year probably. There's something going on there. I'm going to say that something's wrong with the thermostat. Now, let me ask you this. The water's plenty hot on that lowest setting?
Yes.
Like plenty hot. If you turn it on and you put your hand under the kitchen sink or vanity, you couldn't put your hand under there?
No, you cannot.
Yeah. There's something wrong with
that. And if I turn it a little bit lower than that, the hot water runs out quicker. So if you shower, you can only shower 10, 15 minutes and you're out of hot water.
Yeah. I'm going to say that there's something wrong with that thermostat assembly, and you have a couple choices. That whole assembly on the front, you can replace. Mm-hmm. How handy are you?
Pretty handy.
It's not, you know, if you look at that, right, we turn the gas off, it has a connector, the gas line comes in, there's a couple of leads, electric leads that probably have to get clipped onto it, and then there's the gas line that goes into the burner underneath. That assembly, you can probably order it online for about $40.
Okay.
Take the serial number off of the... I mean, you could go to a plumbing supply house. They'd probably have it, too. Where are you at? In Lansing?
Lansing.
You got a Ferguson... Probably got a Ferguson plumbing supply down there?
I got a Milne plumbing supply.
All right. They'd probably have it. I mean, if you took a picture of it and got the... serial number off of it, take a picture of the serial number and say, I need a whole... thermostat assembly, gas assembly for it.
Okay.
Tank water heaters are very simple. It's that, and then it's a burner. So that thermostat is, something's messed up with it, and it is, it's overheating the water, which is why that pressure relief valve is kicking off.
Okay.
At that lowest setting, the water should be hot, but it shouldn't be like, wow, I can't keep my hand underneath it.
Okay. I will try replacing that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for asking the question that Lindsay screened you for. You're a good man.
Thank you, Luke.
Talk to you later. It's 7:23 in the morning. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show.
Yeah, sure. Hoop-dee-doo. Now back to your Saturday morning fix of the Mr. Fix-It Show with your host, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Thank you. I'll bring the chips. Welcome back. Kathy is in Glenview. Kathy, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm hoping you can save my front door.
Oh, all right.
I live in a condo. I'm on the first floor. I'm affected by the door opening into the hallway. Plus, they put the heater right next to my door in the wall, which has been there, and I've been here 42 years. The door is not working properly, and I had a handyman come over. He got the top part where it was rubbing, but the middle part, I can see my lock. It's not fitting to the door. And so what's my problem? The frame, the door, he said it looked like the door was bowing, or it's 42 years old.
Okay. You're saying a lot of different things. You're affected by, in other words, you're on the second floor, and
no,
there's
I'm
like
on
a...
the first floor.
You're on the third floor.
First
floor, so when the door opens in the common hallway,
right,
the cold comes in.
Right, and I have... They
and so your door is drafty.
Right, and the heat is outside my regular condo door. It's right in the wall.
Like an electric baseboard heater?
No, it's not electric. It fits into the wall. And it, you can't, it has a thermostat inside, which I can't touch. I can't control the heat. So I got the cold air and the heat coming, and that heat is affecting my front door because it's right next to it wall.
Well, and it's not electric?
Yes, it is. I don't know.
It's an electric in-wall heater that has a fan and the air blows out.
Right.
And how, when I look, if I'm standing on the outside in that hallway looking at your door, this heater to the left, is it to the left of the door?
If
I'm looking at the door?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And how far away, what's the distance from that heater to the door?
It's very close.
A foot? 6 inches?
Probably,
3 feet?
Probably about 6 or 7 inches.
Okay. All right. I doubt that that heater has anything to do with the door. I mean, it might, you know, because it's blowing the heat out. While it's going to heat up a little bit, it's not going to absorb that much. But he said that, so in other words, when the door is closed, I can see through it? Or when you say I can see the lock, are you able to open and close the door?
Yes. What he did was, it was rubbing on the top of the door.
Right.
He went into the little things in the side, and he adjusted the screws into the hinges, right.
Right.
Then it affected the locks. So then he took the two locks and he moved them. And when he did, you know, he just did something with them. He changed
right.
them.
He opened up Pandora's box.
Door.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
So, it sounds to me, I mean, without seeing it, that it certainly is possible that the door is warped, but I'm sure that the door has to be something that the condo board approves, right? It's got to look like the rest of the doors?
You got it.
Right. So my guess is this door needs to be rehung. And it wouldn't surprise me, even though you've been there 42 years, that the jam and everything is just moved around, that you just need someone to come and possibly take that door down, put in a new door frame, and rehang that door. And or if they determine the fact that the door is warped, you may need to replace the whole door, frame and all. And
is
if that, that go ahead.
I was just going to say, is that I'm sure that's expensive. And I looked in our rules and it says I'm responsible for that door.
I'm sure it is. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you are. The door, if I was going to guess, it's probably a fire door. And to have someone install it, you know, it could be. You know, you could go to somebody like Builder Supply Outlet, and they probably have those doors where you could buy it, get a pretty good deal on it. I'm just going to make a number up and say $500.
Wow.
Yeah, but wait, there's more. Then you have to have someone install it, which could probably be another $500.
Whoa.
And so now, and then you're, you know, now do we do new hardware or whatever? So it's probably $1,000 to maybe a $1,200 proposition to replace the whole door. But I think the mistake here is we need someone better than a handyman. We need a good carpentry contractor to come take a look. Hang on a second. Let me think about that so I can figure out who I'm going to have you call. All right. It is 7:30 in the morning. Are you looking for a career that provides good wages, health care, and retirement security? Consider an apprenticeship with the Chicago Plumbers Union Local 130. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about my visit to the Chicago Plumbers Local Union 130. It was amazing. It was amazing. I am totally leaving this and I'm becoming an apprentice plumber all over again. Imagine yourself learning new skills and getting paid. When you complete your training as a licensed plumber, you'll be debt-free and have a profession, lifelong career. Plus, you'll get hands-on instructions in their state-of-the-art training facility in Chicago's West Loop, Joliet, and Vola locations. It's amazing. Sign-ups are going on right now. To learn more, visit plumberslu130ua.org. plumberslu130ua.org.
What pesky problems around the house are bugging you?
Our dishwasher smells.
Now's the time to call.
I spilled red wine on a white leather couch.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show right here on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
I've got no roots, but my home was never on the ground. I've got no roots.
My wife is going out of town this weekend. She's going to St. Louis with her girlfriends for a weekend. And she's so worried about what I'm going to eat while she's gone, you know. So I'm texting her, have a safe flight, I love you, with all the emojis of a hot dog and a piece of pizza and a Big Mac and bacon and french fries and a chicken leg. Love you. Welcome back, Lou Manfredini, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. Jim's in Des Plaines. Hey, Jim, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Lou.
How can I help you, sir?
I have a question regarding mold and mildew in my house, okay?
Okay.
And I got to give you a brief explanation first so you can get a picture of what's going on here. Front of my house faces north. I have cathedral ceilings in the living room and dining room. The intersection between the living room ceiling and the front wall, the north wall, you can see like black marks where the wall studs are and where the
rafters are.
Yes, it's more pronounced where the rafters and the wall studs meet. You know, at the intersection between the ceiling and the wall. Okay, now on the floor of that north wall, there's two heating vents. So I've got air blowing up. Okay, and I'm curious to know if that's just dirt or if it's mildew. Is there any type of home test I can do to see if I've got a serious problem here, mm-hmm. or if I just need to paint the ceiling and walls?
Let me ask you this, Jim. Is there a Mrs. Jim?
Yes, there is.
Does Mrs. Jim like to burn candles in the house?
Yes, she does.
Regularly?
I would say so.
Like couple, three times a week?
Maybe not a couple, three times a week, but every weekend there's some candles going for sure.
What that is, my friend, is candle sooting. And those heat vents are taking the soot from the candles, and they're brushing it up on those walls. And this is a very common phenomenon that can happen you will see, you know, a wall and the ceiling, none of it is flat, 100% flat. It's got ridges, in particular where all that framing is. And so you don't see it because you're looking down and you're looking up at it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, if you look at a woman that's slightly pregnant from the front, you might not notice that she's pregnant, but when she turns to the side, then you see that she's pregnant. Well, if I put you up on that ceiling and you looked along the side of that wall, you'd see the little baby bump.
Okay.
Now, just to make you and Mrs. Jim happy, you're going to go to the Ace and you're going to buy the 5-minute mold test from Healthful Home. Okay?
Okay, very well.
And you're going to take that. Healthful Home makes a 5-minute mold test, and it comes with a little Q-tip swab, and you brush along that little black stuff that you're worried about. You break the little vial, you shake it up, and then you squirt it on this little thing. It looks like a pregnancy test. And if you get the line that says you have mildew and mold, then you have mildew and mold, and you got a bigger problem. But I think
that's a major problem.
Right, but I don't think that's what you have. And so two things. You can probably wash that sooting off of the walls using something as simple as Clorox cleanup and a microfiber towel.
Okay.
So you can try that. But then you may want to be painting as well. And then you're going to talk to Mrs. Jim and say, hey, the next time you go buy those candles, buy better quality candles.
Okay. Very well.
With more paraffin in it. Or you can buy candles that say no soot. Like they're clean burning candles.
Okay, very well. I know she buys candles from the candle store there in Woodfield. I can't think of
like Yankee, whatever it is. But, you know, New Yankee or something like that. But even they have like good, better, best.
Okay.
And so she needs you say, honey, you deserve a better candle. Hey, Jim, this is your Valentine's Day gift.
You're right. There you go.
You go to the candle shop and you say, what's the best candle you sell? Well, it's right here, sir. I'll take a dozen of them. And then you say, honey, I love you so much. I bought you the best candles money can buy.
You've just solved two problems for me, not only one.
I'm just one man, Jim.
I know.
You have a good day. I appreciate you calling this morning. 7:44 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
My wife, she's in the other room listening to you.
She's a smart lady.
Yeah, well, she calls you her home improvement stud muffin.
I'm a mom, you know what I mean, and I do.
Welcome back. On the catwalk. I am your little home improvement stud muffin.
On the catwalk.
I have the best Noodaloo 2 that I think Lindsay found, right? You found this one. How did we find this one?
You know, you featured it. Did you know this? You know it was on House Smarts. Did you know this?
I did not. Oh, was it Design
you watch
Smart?
Your show?
I do, but we do that so much in advance sometimes that those Design Smarts are not things that I'm part of. So I see them and I think they're cool.
Right.
So we did feature it.
So somebody, Fort, asked. I actually was the one that coordinated it for House Smarts, and that was about maybe 6 months ago. And I kept it on my back burner because it is a cool product.
Think about the rugs that are in your home right now, and think about how they look, and think about how you maintain them. What if you could do that more simply and easily?
Hardwood floors and ceramic tile may look beautiful, but let's face it, rugs make them easier on our feet, and come on, who likes cold feet anyway? And if you're mindful of your neighbors below, it is nice to have a soft surface underfoot. But cleaning them is a pain and expensive, especially if you have messy kids and messy, dirty pets. Don't you wish sometimes you could just pick up those rugs and toss them in the wash? Enter our new Tulu 2, Ruggable. A two-part washable rug. The bottom layer of Ruggable grips the floor and anchors the top layer, which is a sort of upholstery fabric that comes in assorted colors and patterns. When the rug gets dirty, the top peels off, kind of like Velcro, and goes right in the wash. Cool, right?
I know!
Ruggable is perfect for a kitchen, bathroom, hallway, or any other place that would otherwise be bare. They come in a variation of styles, colors, and sizes, so they are bound to have something you're looking for, or that'll match your decor. Prices vary from about $89 to $389, and you can find out more at Ruggable.com. That's this week's New Tulu 2.
Amazing designs, amazing sizes. I mean, you literally could, I don't know if they're going to like this. You know, when you bought the sectional that you have right now at your house?
I do.
Right. And you were like, you know, I got these two little kids and I don't want to buy like a super expensive sectional because my kids are going to be drinking juice on it. But it's a very nice sectional.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's very nice, but it isn't like, oh my gosh, whatever.
Right.
So these Ruggables are very nice. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that it's like a like an Oriental rug. That's not what it is. You know what I mean? But the patterns and the styles are really nice, and you put the whole thing in the washing machine.
It's affordable, yes.
It's affordable.
I think that that's okay to say.
It's stylish and affordable.
Right.
And so you got to put it in the box where it belongs. But you know where I could totally see this in? Hmm. In a young person's apartment, in a house with little kids, where you want to bring some style and some look. Look, when we remodeled our kitchen, we also got a new sectional and a rug in our little family room that's just off the kitchen. And it's a lighter colored rug, and we made a huge mistake. Because the dogs who lie on it all the time, it gets dirty. Okay, so I'm there with the rug doctor, literally, every 6 weeks, cleaning the rug. Now, I don't mind doing that, you know what I mean? But I like the lighter color because it brightens up the space, and the sectional we bought is kind of a charcoal gray. It looks really nice, and had you gone with a darker rug,
you're right,
it'd be too dark. The lighter thing works, but you got to keep it clean all the time. A Ruggable, had I known about it then,
right,
would have been perfect. We got to brighten this thing up. Washing machine.
Yeah.
Out you go. Done. From $89 to $389. And they have really nice styles.
Right.
So, and the pad that they give you is really cool. They ship it in a box. Comes to your house. Here you go. Done. I like it. Ruggable. Ruggable.com, and we'll put it up on the WGN website, as well as the Lou Manfredini Mr. Fix-It Facebook page, if you'd like more information about it as well. 7:53 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Mary in Downers Grove. Hi, Mary, you're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
Well, I moved into this condo a few months ago, and it has a clothes dryer in the master bathroom that does not vent to the outside. So when I operate it, it turns the room into a sauna.
It's electric?
Yes.
It's electric. And it's driving you crazy.
Well, I need to open the window even in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, everything just...
Oh, wait, okay, the dryer is where?
It's in the master bathroom.
Is there
one of those stackable units?
Yeah, and is there a closet? Or you just, it's out in the middle of nowhere?
It's in a recessed area. It doesn't have a door over it, but...
Okay. And the window is where?
In the bedroom.
Oh, so there's no, in the bathroom, there's no window.
Right.
What floor?
I'm in a condo.
Yeah, and what floor are you in the condo?
Fourth.
Is that the top?
Out of five, no.
Oh.
Five is the top.
And where this little recess is, I'm just wondering, is behind it an outside wall?
No.
It's another condo.
Well, it's actually the hallway.
It's the hallway. Mary.
So I had the bathroom remodeled, and I bought a real powerful exhaust fan. But then when the contractors opened it up, they said that the pipe on the fan was larger than the pipe in the wall, and they couldn't install it.
And do you have a fan in there now?
Yeah, but...
It won't move.
It's not enough.
So if you crank that thing on, it won't work.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah, like I said, it's all the windows get steamed up, you know, in the bedroom.
Right, and the mirrors.
Right.
Okay, now in that bathroom, in that master bathroom, is one of those bathrooms, is any wall in those bathrooms an outside wall?
Not in the bathroom, no.
Hmm. Mary,
the bedroom has the outside wall.
The bedroom has an outside wall.
Yeah.
But not a bathroom.
Right.
We are stuck here, my dear.
Yeah.
Because unless you can figure out how to vent it out, there's nothing you're going to be able to do here. The only thing that you could possibly do, which is kind of crazy, the fan that you have, do you have any idea what kind of CFMs it has or no? The one that they put in. Or did they just put the old one back in?
No, I bought a new one.
You bought a new one?
I don't recall.
You don't recall. Okay. If you bought a small, small plug-in fan, okay, that you could put, like, what they probably have is that hose on the back of the hose on the back of the dryer goes to, like, a little box, right? Like a little filter box?
A little pail.
Like a pail. And is that sitting on the ground?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, one of the things you could try and do is you could have that pipe. I'm just trying to think how we're going to do this. I'm trying to direct that pipe up towards that fan, but still in the little recessed area. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to raise it up so that, because right now it goes down to the floor, right?
Correct.
So now I'm heating all that, and it's rising up, and it's building up in that pocket. If we can take that hose around and somehow affix it to the top of the dryer and put the little filter on the front so it's up high, off to the side if you have enough room, then there, when you turn that fan on, it should be able to grab that heat that's already there and pull it out quicker than heating everything up from the bottom and going up, and then you don't even need another fan.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a stackable washer
and
dryer.
Right.
So I don't have much room.
Do you have 4 inches on one side?
Yes.
I need 4 inches. That's all I need. So I need someone to come and take that hose and extend it or put a different hose. Actually, what would make the most sense is they could do it out of metal pipe that's more rigid. Like there's an aluminum flexible pipe that is nice and rigid. And at the top mm-hmm. of the dryer, on the side, they're going to use a little aluminum tape and maybe even just one little screw to screw the pipe in at the top. So it's like blowing, almost like it's blowing in your face, but it's not. But it's up high towards the fan. And then you turn the exhaust fan on, and it should be able to evacuate that hot air. This is the only way you're going to put lipstick on this pig. And try and pull it out faster and not heat up the whole space. That's a tough one because without a way to vent it directly outside, there's no other solution for this. Thanks so much for the phone call. I'm just bumping up against time.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. I love this show.
Hey, baby, I ain't asking what you...
Thanks, Big O. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems and by Fox Home Center. Hey, by the way, join us next Saturday, February 10th from 7 to 10 a.m. for our live broadcast of the Mr. Fix-It Show from the Old House, New House, Home Show at Pheasant Run. Pheasant Run Resort in St. Charles. Everyone's welcome. You don't need to register. It's free admission to our broadcast, and you'll receive complimentary tickets to the home show afterwards. We'll have complimentary breakfasts and refreshments and give you the chance to win great prizes as well. Get details online at WGNradio.com/events. Sponsored by the Lindeman Chimney Company. Schedule an appointment at cleanfireplace.com.
Can I come?
And no. Oh. And also sponsored, well, you can, but you'll be in Las Vegas. And sponsored by Green Tea Total Home Services, all the indoor and outdoor home services you need. Yeah, you can, but it'd be a long drive.
Yes.
Right? Sam Panionovich, as you know, is leaving us. This weekend is his last broadcast on WGN Radio, and then he's going to... Have you found a place to live yet?
I will be in the hotel for a couple weeks, okay. And then in that time, I'll find a place to live. By the way, this radio that you got me, and Lindsay got me, is sweet.
Right? Describe it to the radio listeners.
It's a retro AM-FM radio. Looks like something out of 1950.
Right.
It's got the arch and the old speaker box.
Mm-hmm.
You tune it manually with the knobs.
Right.
What kind of wood is that, Mr. Fix-It? It looks like oak.
I'm sure it's plastic that looks like wood, but
no, it's a nice, strong oak. Just go with it.
It looks like an old classic, like you would listen to the fireside chat with FDR, but it's a modern radio. And as you go to satellite radio, we wanted to make sure that you remembered that you came from the thing that Marconi invented.
Really appreciate it. This is cool. I'm going to put this right in the apartment.
There you go. And you can, and even for you kids, you can connect to it Bluetooth too.
Mm.
So you can play your satellite radio through your app.
I can stream Mr. Fix-It too on
you
the WGN
can.
App.
You can do the WGN radio app. I like that. So I love those retro radios. I have one, not that version, but I have an older, kind of like a 70s one that I use in my office, which is awesome. It sounds really good. So anyway, we're going to miss you, Panionovich.
Thanks, Lou. I'll miss you.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. I mentioned to you that earlier this week I had a chance. You know, a couple weeks ago we did this whole trade union show where we brought in, had interviews with a bunch of the different trade unions and how they're recruiting, these great opportunities that exist. We had somebody on from the Carpenters Union, the Sheet Metal Workers. We had someone from the Plumbers Union, and so we had a really nice time with all those folks and talking about the opportunities to have these careers. Then the Plumbers Union invited me to come to their training center, which was amazing. They just built this big, beautiful building right on Washington, and inside their building, they built a three-story building. One half of it is commercially framed, and the other half is residential, even has a crawl space and has a giant like a ground pit filled with gravel so that these apprentices can learn how to do underground piping and, you know, actually dig and do all this stuff. And they do this amazing training program. And then what was really cool is they, for all, within the classrooms, they have all these different fixtures, you know, faucets and toilets and urinals and you name it, water heaters, on-demand water heaters, tank water heaters, and they capture all the rainwater into a giant cistern and recirculate that water so that while they're using it, you know, they're not like constantly tapping into the water system for the training program, and they use very little clean city water in the facility. It was amazing. It was actually amazing. So I'm telling you what, with all these unions, these training centers are just top-notch exposure that that these folks get if they're interested in a career. We put the links to all of those different unions that I spoke with up on my Facebook page. So if you'd like to learn more about that, then go take a look at that and then see if it might be right, something right for you. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is a song that Kevin called into in Rockport. Kevin, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, how can I help you?
All right, quick question. This morning we were woken up to one of those Honeywell sounding alarms that detect water that you put on the basement floors.
Okay.
And I came down in the basement and saw some water pooling underneath the water softener. I thought that that was the issue. Turned on some lights, looking around a little bit further, noticed that the humidifier that's attached to the furnace just above the water softener is slowly leaking. So I'm assuming maybe for the last day or two, you know, maybe a quarter, half a gallon has leaked on the floor and pulled itself underneath the water softener. So the sensor went off, I'm assuming from the humidifier dripping onto the floor.
Okay.
So is there an issue with the humidifier? Is there a way to try to turn that off to stop the water from leaking onto the floor?
Well, let me ask you this. The humidifier has like a little clear tube that comes from the bottom of it?
Correct, into a PVC pipe that leads to the drain.
Okay, and it's leaking from the actual body of the humidifier?
Yes, it looks like I took off the cover and there's a little water pooling underneath the inside of it. So it's coming from the actual unit itself.
Okay, so here's the thing.
When it's leaking from the tube so much, it's leaking from the unit.
Okay, so when you take that off, you see how where you've got the filter pad, there's like a little there's like a little round, maybe like a black fitting that's the collection point for the water, correct?
So take the filter out?
No. I mean, yeah, you could take the filter out. Then I want you to take a little, like a pipe cleaner or some kind of thin wire. It could be that drain line is clogged,
leading into the tube itself.
Correct.
Okay, so it's going to pull out of the sides instead of going down the drain.
Correct, and so sometimes
there's a lot of sediment on this thing and on the filter itself. So I don't know.
When's the last time you replaced that filter?
It's been probably at least a couple years.
Yeah, so that's typically if you use it a lot, it's a once a year thing. So sure, you could take that to the hardware store and replace it, and which would be great. But I think that what you want to first do is take some kind of little pipe cleaner or something you can shove down that tube to make sure that that's clear. And okay. And you may even need to use kind of like a little brush or the old toothbrush or something to clean it up. You could even pour a little CLR down there and if there's a lot of calcium buildup so that it drains, and replace the filter, and I bet you're going to solve the problem.
Okay. Worst case scenario, though, I don't need to call anybody out for this. I should start with that.
I would start with that.
Okay, I don't want to have to go buy a kayak for the big game tomorrow.
No, you won't.
In the basement.
And I mean, you know, the worst case scenario, too, if you can't solve that problem, unplug that humidifier so you don't have anything go. I mean, you know, obviously you want the humidity, but then you may need to call somebody.
What about shutting off the line? There's a line that leads from
you could shut off the water line. Sure, if you shut off the water line, that's fine, too.
Okay.
Then it won't leak and it won't be a problem whatsoever. So give that a shot. But I bet if you clear that tube, you'll be good to go. Thanks so much for the phone call. 8:19 in the morning. We'll be right back.
It's Saturday morning. You know what that means. Time for Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Lord, it's the same old time.
Well, I wish you were all joining us in the studio for Sam's final Mr. Fix-It broadcast, because
it's last meal.
What's the name of it's our last supper? Hey, what's the name of your chicken fried steak podcast that you do?
Chicken Dinner.
So in honor of your Chicken Dinner podcast, where can you find your Chicken Dinner podcast?
iTunes. You could do it on Google Play. You could even say, hey, Amazon Echo, play Chicken Dinner podcast.
Wow. Well, we brought in some chicken breakfast for you.
Really?
From the Chicken and Farm Shop
House.
Which, have you ever heard of the, Sam, have you ever heard of the Soho House?
I have, yes.
You know that that's a members only place.
I found that out the hard way.
You did? Oh, trying to go in there?
I brought somebody there once.
Right.
Excuse me, sir, where's your membership?
Right, you got to be a member to go there. But the Chicken and Farm Shop House is in the Soho House.
Chicken Shop.
The Chicken Shop. But people think that it's not open to the public, and that's not true. So the restaurant is open to the public, although the Soho House is not. So that's a little problematic for the
Well, that's why we're here
people.
To tell you that you should go
so,
get this chicken.
So it's the Chicken and Farm Shop. It's the name of the restaurant. They're located inside the Soho House, and it's completely open to the public. It was started in the UK, specializing in rotisserie chicken that's marinated, then spit-roasted over a wood fire.
Wow.
After the restaurant came to Chicago, the only U.S. location, their head chef, James Guerin.
Just met him.
Who came in. He was a handsome fella.
He was.
Added some American comfort food flair, introducing chicken and waffles and fried chicken sandwiches to the menu. These have become their top-selling menu items and are now featured on chicken shop menus worldwide.
What?
They're going to be showing the Super Bowl on Sunday because football goes darn well with fried chicken. I agree.
Burgers I gave and my love a chicken, it had no bone. Chicken.
Yeah. I have the menu in front of us. We, for your last final meal, for your final supper, your last supper, buttermilk fried chicken and waffles. Biscuits and gravy?
I don't know.
It's
what's
all
in
circle.
There. It's all this, oh, that's the brunch menu. That
oh, that's the brunch menu. For the brunch menu, you can get butter, chicken, waffle, biscuits, and gravy, tomato, avocado, egg, and English muffin.
Trying to fatten me up before the
big reveal. Wow. And then their cocktails you can get there is.
I just thought the cocktail. That's why I circled them. I thought they looked really good.
Yeah. I agree. The pumpkin love, autumn fizz, barbecue float, Soho mule.
It's the brunch menu. Yeah,
that's the brunch menu. This
amazing.
Is really amazing.
I can't wait.
The Chicken Shop, their website. You can follow them on Instagram at Chicken Shop. They're open Monday through Friday from 11:30 to 11 p.m. Saturdays 10 to 4, and then 4 to 11, and Sundays 10 to 4, and then 4 to 9.
I've heard good things about this place.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why I kind of hit them up.
Wow. So thank you to the Chicken and Farm Shop in the Soho Hotel. Open to the public, so all of you people, and then your guest in there too, Pablo. What's his name, Pablo?
Pablo.
Pablo. Have Pablo come in and have some chicken and waffles. Good day to come see us, Pablo. So that's very nice. Thank you. We'll give you the review of the food coming up a little bit later on. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Mary's in Huntley. Hi, Mary. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Morning. I have a hardwood floor in a small section of my house, and one of the planks, it's 3.5 feet long, is starting to raise up at both ends, and it's not up high enough like to get any glue or something underneath it. So what can I do?
Is it in the middle of the floor?
Yes.
And is it near any kind of water source whatsoever?
No.
And
it's the only plank, yeah.
Right. And was this a engineered floor or is it glued down? What can you tell me about the floor?
Yeah, I can't tell you much because I can't raise it up to find out if it's glued.
Are you in a single family home, Mary?
Yeah, I'm out in Del Webb.
Okay, so it's the wood floor is over the slab.
Right.
Okay. It could be that you got a bad board sucking up some moisture. So do this. Do you have a small little fan like you can plug in?
I can find one, yes.
All right. Right over that board at one end of it, I want you to plug in a fan safely that you're not going to trip over, which I'm sure it's in the middle of the room, and let that on low, have that fan blow across that plank for like the next 3 days. Yeah. And it's going to dry. Okay. It's going to dry out the moisture, and in the next month, it's going to take a while. It should go back down. Now, if it doesn't go down in the next month after you keep this fan on it for a little while, the fact that we're in the heating weather, it shouldn't be curling. You may have to replace that one plank.
How do you get it out to replace it?
They would come in and cut out that board, and then they would, what they call, finger in a new board. And it would probably be like a pre-finished board that they could match without. You could probably get away with doing it without having to resand the whole floor. But how's that floor look? What's the condition of that floor?
It's not bad. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah.
I mean, it can be done. But if you try the fan, that's obviously sucking up some moisture. And if you run that fan for a few days and you give it about a month, it should calm back down. Surprised that it's curling this time of year, but it should calm down and you may get away with not having to do anything to it. Good luck with that. I appreciate your phone call. It is 8:30 in the morning. Time now for WGN Radio News, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Into the newsroom, here's Doma Tipongo.
Lou, early voting is supposed to begin next Thursday, but there may be some delays in the Chicago area. The Chicago Board of Elections says ballot challenges will potentially cause delays, and officials can't program the voting equipment until ballots are finalized. As President Donald Trump heads to Ohio to focus on the new tax overhaul, some there would like to hear more about his plans to fight drug overdoses and opioid abuse. A police union leader there says he believes that Trump was spot on about the scope of the problem in his State of the Union address. And a 15-year-old boy jumped in on the driver's side of a car while its owner was unloading the running car in the 300 block of East Ohio. But the 54-year-old owner of the vehicle was able to get inside, subdue the teen, and hold him until police arrived. That teen is now in custody. Sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
You're invited to join the Mr. Fix-It show as we broadcast. But we're confusing way too many people with all these broadcasts. Too many. Who's doing all this? We have two live remotes coming up in February, okay? So I'm sorry if this is confusing to you, but the first one is next week. And that's at the Old House, New House Home Show at the Pheasant Run Resort in St. Charles on the 10th from 7 to 10 a.m. Everybody's welcome to attend. You don't have to pre-register. Bring your friends. You'll receive free admission to the Old House, New House Home Show for that day. Plus, enjoy complimentary breakfast and plenty of hot coffee. Our live broadcast next Saturday from the Old House, New House Home Show is sponsored by the Lindeman Chimney Company. You know, chances are your home has seen a bit of remodeling over the last few years, but does your fireplace still look like 1975? Let the pros at Lindeman Chimney transform your old fireplace into the updated centerpiece it should be. They offer fireplace restorations with audio, video, ready installations, and full built-in custom cabinetry. How do you like your new fireplace, Lindsay?
I love it.
She loves it. Log on to cleanfireplace.com and schedule your free fireplace restoration appointment. That's cleanfireplace.com, Lindeman Chimney. It's a name you can trust.
Hey, this is Mike Steven, and now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show. And by the way, if the show started late, it's probably my fault. Right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
At least he's consistent. Lindsay has opened up the food that our new friends at the Chicken and Farm Shop brought us. There's a giant platter of waffles and a giant platter of chicken, a giant platter of something called a dirty burger, which looks delicious, collard greens, which I don't think I've ever had collard greens, and I want some.
Really?
No. And what is that thing that you're opening? Like eggs with a... like an open-faced egg with avocado and tomatoes that looks absolutely delicious, which has Lindsay written all over it. It's really good. So, Doma T and Sam, please come in and enjoy your farewell breakfast so I don't eat it all.
Okay, be right there.
All right. When we were doing the union interviews a couple of weeks ago, a listener had texted in, right, Lindsay? About the Jane Addams Resource Corporation, and said there's this great organization that helps people learn new skills, that may help lead to a good paying manufacturing career, and can also help with reading and English and computers, a whole nine yards. Joining me on the phone line right now is Emily Doherty, who is with the Jane Addams Resource Corporation, JARC. She's the Senior Director of Training. Emily, good morning. Welcome to WGN.
Morning. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about this organization, because I have to be completely honest with you. I know very little about it.
Yeah, we're definitely a unique organization. So we're a nonprofit. We're located in Chicago, and then we do manufacturing training for unemployed adults. So people come to us that typically have not worked in manufacturing, and they want to learn either computerized machining or welding. So we teach them the technical skills. We give them some supportive services, and then connect them with employers that have open jobs in those occupations.
How long has the organization been around?
We've actually been around for around 35 years, and it's kind of interesting. We originally had started not working directly with unemployed adults, but working just with manufacturing companies.
Okay.
Yeah, and the purpose was, you know, if we can help these companies stay competitive, we can keep these jobs in Chicago. But something that we heard from those companies then, and we still hear from them today, is that they don't have enough qualified people to fill these positions. So that's really how we started training the unemployed adults and kind of serve as that middle men and women to help those people get those skills so that they can then do those jobs.
Wait a minute. So with the whole idea about, you said you've been around for 35 years, you were working with these manufacturing companies back then, and this is back when, you know, all manufacturing jobs are leaving. Even then they had a hard time finding quality people?
Yeah, because really, I mean, you hear a lot about manufacturing and definitely those jobs leaving, but the ones that we train in are really high-skilled positions. So you can't just hire somebody off the street and expect them to operate a CNC machine or to do these weldings. It's very complicated. You have to have good skills.
Right.
And we work a lot with small and mid-sized companies that, you know, don't always have the capacity to be able to train all of these incoming people for their hiring needs. So for them, it's kind of nice that they can come to us. We've trained them technically. We're really strict on attendance. So anyone that they're coming out of our program, the employer knows that they're a reliable employee.
And is this something that, well, let me back up. Oh my gosh, I have so many questions. Tell me who the average person is that uses your center or takes advantage of your center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we only work with adults, but typically it's someone in their mid-30s. Maybe they've tried a couple other jobs. You know, they're not seeing that career advancement. They're not seeing family-sustaining wages. About half of our participants are ex-offenders. We work with, you know, a lot of single moms, people that have worked in maybe retail, food service, and they're looking for something that they can really grow in and can be something that they can support their family in. So they kind of come to us from all different avenues and work with us. And for us, we feel really good about those technical skills. And we're just really looking for people that are open to working in manufacturing and want that full-time job.
And what about the cost?
Yeah, so our program is completely free. We're supported by foundations, by government funding. And so we have a certain number of slots every year. So we screen people that we think are going to be a good fit. But the participant never pays anything out of the pocket.
Wow. And about how many people do you have that are participating at any given time?
Yeah, so in Illinois, we serve about 100 people each year. So we have one location on the north side in the Ravenswood neighborhood, and then another location on the west side in the Austin neighborhood.
Is this nationwide?
So we have a third location in Baltimore. So we have the three locations in total. But yeah, we've been out in Baltimore for about 2 years.
Wow. And so all of your this thing gets funded, and and it's this great resource. About how long is the average time commitment? I mean, certainly it must vary based on the skill set that you're trying to achieve.
Yeah, definitely. So for the welding track, it's 14 weeks, and then for our computerized machining track, it's 20 weeks. So, you know, considering that you're going to be learning a totally new trade and starting a career, it is a relatively short amount of time when you're comparing it to, you know, going through a community college or a regular university and, you know, spending 2 to 4 years learning a skill. In our program, you can be for 3 to 5 months and then be ready to work.
Wow. This is so cool. How long have you been with the organization?
Gosh, I have been there a little over 8 years.
Wow. It's got to be super rewarding.
Oh, yeah, and it's really exciting because we're constantly working with people that, you know, they want to work really hard, they want to take care of their family, But if you don't have these skills or you don't have these opportunities, you really, to a certain extent, it doesn't matter how hard you work, you're never going to get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really rewarding that we can, you know, work with these people, give them these skills, and then work with our employer partners. And, you know, we follow up with them after their placement and to kind of hear, you know, they're buying homes, their kids are doing really well. It never gets old. It's always exciting.
Right. I mean, this is the answer, is to give these people these life skills that they can participate and they can make their own way. And the more that we can do that, just the better our whole society is going to be. I mean, I'm convinced of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And again, it's just people that, you know, they're working really hard in other jobs, but they're making a minimum wage or it's hard for them to find stable employment.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they have this skill, these strong technical skills, they're going to be able to have a career for the rest of their life.
Emily Doherty is the Senior Director of Training at the Jane Addams Resource Corporation, the JARC. How do people learn more, Emily? This is a good one. I really, really like this.
Oh, great. Yeah, they can definitely check out our website. It's www.jane-addams.org. And Addams is A-D-D-A-M-S.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks so much for giving us some of this information. Thank you to the listener that sent us a text message about this, because I think this is really great.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye. Bye. It is 8:44 in the morning. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show. My name's Lou Manfredini. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. 8:48 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. Sue is in Crestwood. Hi, Sue. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
I have a 12-year-old dishwasher that isn't dispensing the detergent properly. Whether I use a liquid or a pod, there's always something left behind, and the food particles, they look clean, but the glasses, especially if they had milk in them, you definitely can tell they're not clean.
When you say it's not dispensing the soap properly, does the door not open?
When you open the door, it always the door of the dishwasher, you always hear the dispenser door click open. So I don't think it's opening. Some of the dishwasher detergent is gone. There's always residue.
Right, but you know,
in
that little door where you put the soap in there, you open it, you lock it, and
yep.
Then when you after it's done with the cycle, if you open it up, is that door still closed?
You can hear it click open as you open the dishwasher door.
Really?
So it is closed. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. How old is the dishwasher?
12.
Okay. Now that mechanism, you know, works on depending on the dishwasher, many of them work on a timer. Some work on heat.
The Den Air.
Yeah. So that assembly with the door, with the soap dispenser, is replaceable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And let's do this. Before you go crazy, I want you to try this. There is a product you can buy at the hardware store called Dishwasher Magic.
Okay?
This is the first thing you're going to do. It comes in a bottle, has a little wax plug in it, and you're going to run the hot water in the dishwasher in your kitchen sink. Get it nice and hot.
Okay.
Then put this in the top rack of your dishwasher upside down with the cap off. Follow the instructions. Put it on pots and pans with the door open of the soap. You're not putting any soap in there. And run a complete cycle on this.
Okay.
And let's see if that can clean up a lot of the stuff that's inside of there to get this thing to operate. Now, maybe, just maybe, for this $8 or $9 you're going to spend, you may solve the problem. If not, you're going to go to a website called repairclinic.com.
Okay.
You're going to plug in your Gen Air model number, serial number, and you're going to plug in the soap dispenser assembly.
Okay.
And then you're going to buy that. It's probably going to cost you $40, maybe $50. That assembly, one of two things happens. There may be two screws on there somewhere on the inside of the door that you can unscrew that whole assembly and comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Or you may have to take the front panel off of the unit to expose the screws on the other side. I guarantee you there are YouTube videos to show you how to do this.
I had to take the front panel off to replace the control mechanism. So, yep.
The key is when you're messing with this, I want the breaker to be shut off on the dishwasher before you're doing any of this work.
Absolutely.
Capiche?
Capiche.
All right.
Thanks, Lou.
Go to work. You have your marching orders, Sue. I appreciate you calling this morning. 8:52 in the morning. We'll be right back.
And now back to the only show I listen to for advice on keeping flying squirrels out of my attic and mold off of my siding. Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Street lights along the highway, throwing shadows in the dark. And the memories keep on turning.
Okay. Welcome back.
So I know we were just talking about this. Our new favorite, or my new favorite artist, yours too.
Chris Stapleton. Stapleton. Yeah.
But, so you know, he opened for Tom Petty when I went over the summer. Best nights of my life.
Right.
And I was in the front row. And so he has this woman that stands next to him the entire time, and she plays the tambourine.
Really?
And she'll sing like a harmony. Like
was she the woman on Saturday Night Live? There was a tambourine player.
It's his wife. And they are the most in love couple. I mean, when he sings, and you'll notice this now if you see him again, whenever they sing and she's next to him, he looks at her and she looks at him, and it is this like comfort of being with
together.
Who you love together or doing what you love.
Right.
It is like, I get goosebumps just thinking about it, because
right.
it's just the cutest thing.
Well, so I didn't really know who Chris Stapleton, I mean, I'd heard the name, but I never really paid a lot of attention to it, and I happened to watch Saturday Night Live, and I was literally asleep on the couch, mm-hmm. and I woke up for both of his performances. The music must have woken me up. And in the first song that he sang, they kept showing this guitar player up on stage, and I was like, why do they keep showing that guitar player? That's not Chris Stapleton. Like, I knew who he was. Mm-hmm. And that was?
Sturgill Simpson.
Who, those two guys are kind of credited with being traditional country artists.
That's making a comeback. It hasn't
in the world
died.
Of the pop country, right? And they're friends. I mean, they're not rivals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he just appeared and, like, I'm assuming he just got invited to come on.
Right.
And then they did another song where the second time they introduced him.
Right.
And it's a really good performance.
They're both such good artists.
They're so good. And Sturgis kind of just looks like an accountant.
Yeah.
Right? He just looks like he's an accounting guy. And Chris Stapleton's got the long hair and the beard, and he's kind of a heavy set guy. But they're really
they
good.
Are.
Yeah, check out that music. It's very good. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Kevin is in Cedar Lake. Hey, Kevin, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Lou, how's it going?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, so I've got a very old home built in about the 1930s in a little, and obviously Cedar Lake is kind of like a cottage community. And when it was originally built, it was not meant for all year round living.
Right.
So there's no insulation in any of the exterior walls whatsoever. There's like some of that, like, it's like a thin sheet of foil, it almost looks like, and that's about it.
Right.
Now, my question is, what would be the best way to go about insulating the walls short of taking all of the interior walls out? And I say interior because the exterior is done with concrete asbestos siding.
And it's a single-story house?
Yes.
There's an attic?
Yes.
All right. A full attic?
It's a full attic. There's access to all of it, but there's kind of like two different roofs that they had put on it. I don't know if that makes sense.
It's a little involved, but this can be done. There is an insulation product called, I think I used to go to remind me where Cedar Lake is. I think I used to go there as a kid.
Near Crown Point, Indiana?
Yeah. I think I used to go there as a kid. Like years ago, wasn't it a place where they had like the giant metal slides in the water?
Yeah. There used to be all kinds of different, like parks and stuff that.
Yeah, we used to go to Cedar Lake when I was a kid. That's funny. Wow. Okay. there's a system called Aircrete. Aircrete is a cementitious insulation. They can go into your attic, and they will drill a hole through the top plate of the wall about a one-inch inch and a half hole in each pocket of the joist of the stud space.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't have to mess with your walls on the inside. I don't have to mess with the asbestos walls on the outside. Okay? And okay. They're going to go with this tube, and they're going to drop the tube into the wall cavity, and they're going to fill it up with this concrete cementitious insulation that'll give you – it will change your life as the overall comfort of the home. Now, it's not a huge house, right?
No, 1,100 square feet.
Okay. This may cost you $5,000-$6,000. But if you're keeping this thing, and from an investment standpoint, and when you go to sell it, like what you said, all those houses, none of them were designed to be year-round, and probably now everybody's using them year-round.
Exactly.
This is worth it. Check out Google Aircrete, and you'll find a dealer down in that area that can help you out. Aircrete.
Okay. Is it AIRCRETE?
Correct. Aircrete cementitious insulation.
Wake up and shake it off. You're listening to Lou right here on the Mr. Fix Show on Chicago's very own.
That's for you.
No kidding.
Shake it off, Domati. Chicken and Farm Shop. It's the best food to put you to sleep in the morning.
Woo, so good.
It is delicious. If you have a chance to go check this place out, the food is absolutely fantastic. Chicken and Farm Shop. It's located at the Soho House, open to the public. So don't think that you can't go in, because you can. And the food is absolutely delicious. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This hour, the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by Ace Hardware. Back to your phone calls. And this is Bonnie in Lockport. Hi, Bonnie. You're on WGN.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. How can I help you?
Yeah, this question is regarding a fireplace. We recently purchased a new home in Lockport, and the mantle is limestone, and then the base of the fireplace is also limestone, and there's magic marker all over the base, and there's a glue residue all over the sides, and we were just wondering how we might remove that.
I want you to go to the store and buy a product called Superzilla.
Repeat that again.
You remember Godzilla?
Oh, Godzilla, yes.
But take out the Godzilla and put in the Superzilla.
Superzilla, okay.
It's an oil/cleaner.
Uh-huh.
You're going to spray it on the limestone and give it a few minutes. You're going to take a like a nylon scrubbing brush and scrub away, and you're going to be amazed.
Okay.
And then when you really want to have some fun, and you're like, oh my gosh, this product is amazing. It's like a green product, and I love it. You go to their website, and you'll see videos of the owner, who's like the most super passionate person you've ever read, or seen, rather, that does all these YouTube videos. You just want to go have a beer with the guy.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, sounds great.
Superzilla, Bonnie.
Okay, thanks so much.
Bye. I appreciate you calling this morning. Let's talk to Susan in Chicago. Hi, Susan. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, how are you, Lou?
I'm great. What's going on?
I've got a problem with my electricity. It's tripled in the last several months. And I called ComEd, and they came out and they looked at the meter, which wasn't tampered. And they said maybe I had space heaters, which I don't. The only thing that's changed is I have a new refrigerator, and my landlord has come in the unit, and he has changed some of the fixtures. And I asked him, it's like from 1920, the building, and he said he couldn't tell whose wires are on the grid, like if the unit next to me was involved. So now I don't know what to do.
Okay, so you're in an apartment.
Correct. I'm a renter.
And you have your own meter.
Correct.
And you pay your own electric bill.
Yes.
But he thinks that maybe someone else in another apartment might be on your electrical box.
Correct.
Where is your electrical box? Like in the basement?
Yes.
Okay. There's a couple ways to go here. do you have any friends, Susan?
Oh, yeah, I have a lot of friends.
All right, okay. So there's a tool, there's a device that you can buy that's called a toner. And it's a device that you plug into an outlet, and then somebody down in the basement holds this thing at each breaker, and it will identify, oh, this breaker is the kitchen, circuit, right?
Okay.
And you can go, you and your friend, like, talking on your cell phones, you know, so you can hear each other. All right, now I'm in the, you know, whatever. Used to be that you used a two-way radio. Now you can just use your cell phones to talk to each other. And you can do the same thing. Like, you'll go through all of them, and then all of a sudden, like, all right, well, everything seems to be connected here. Then I'm assuming the other electrical panels are there as well?
Yes.
You can test those and see if anybody's hopping onto your stuff.
I see.
Right?
Okay. I think it actually has to be in the grid that he messed around with, where he changed, like, a light fixture. I think the landlord himself is not an electrician, and he might have messed up the wires in there. So is there anything I could do about that?
On the grid. Well,
he called it a grid.
Yeah. So here's the way it works, right? How many units are in the building?
Seven.
Seven units. Okay. So I'm assuming that downstairs in that basement, there are seven electrical panels.
Right.
Or maybe eight, because there may be a common one. Now, what floor are you on?
I'm on the first.
And do we know where the exterior lights are? Like, are they, is there a, in a multi-unit building, there should be, if there are seven units, there should be eight electrical panels. The eighth one should be for the common lights. So I'm assuming there's hallways or exterior lighting or things like that.
Okay, I can find out.
Right? Now, maybe some of those exterior fixtures or common fixtures are somehow connected to your panel. Changing out a light fixture shouldn't be something that you would change where that power's coming from. It really, the way, you know, it would be traditionally wired wouldn't work that way. But my guess is somehow something got changed in a panel, and they're sucking juice from your panel for stuff that's not technically in your unit.
Okay.
All right.
And that's called a phantom load, right?
Well,
that's what the electric company called it.
I mean, a phantom load, sure, but I mean, I'm thinking that in a multi-unit building, there's a circuit in your panel that's supplying electricity for something else.
Okay.
And maybe, you know, when you said he changed out the fixtures, how long have you lived there?
I've lived here 10 years.
Okay. So maybe he changed out some fixtures or added a fixture to the exterior that is now drawing a lot of electricity, which is why you're seeing it now.
Okay, well, I appreciate your suggestions, and I'll check it out.
Worst case scenario, you need to hire a licensed electrician.
Okay.
That you'll pay to figure this thing out.
Okay.
All right.
All right, well, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. I appreciate you calling. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Tom in Hinsdale. Tom, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Last night, about between 6 and 7 o'clock in the Woodlands, a $1.8 million house was being started to be flooded. Just bought a nice couple with a small child. I was loading the auto show with the dirt and the gravel. I'm a contractor. When I got out to Hinsdale last night at about 10:30, they still didn't have the water shut off, but there was now 3.5 inches of water in the basement of this house. When I had to convince the city with Aries, a contractor, to put a 2-inch sump up in there, they were scared to go in there because they didn't have authorization or they didn't want to admit the problem was occurring inside the basement. When I finally got in there, the lady, she said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm just a person from down the street." She says, "What can we do?" I said, "We're going to try to convince the city to put in a 2-inch submersible pump to get all the water out here, because at that point they were going to lose the furnace and the hot water heater." My question is today is, Is the city, after 5 hours, responsible for the property damage of the house? Then you have to get authorization when the city finally admits to it to get somebody to do something, which they did. But 5 hours later, this could have been solved very easily. Any other questions I can answer, Lou? Go ahead.
I'm not a lawyer, so I mean, but I'm going to back you up. You said there was a water main break in a city pipe?
Yes, right by the corridor way of by the Woodlands there, right there by the road that goes over the tri-state. Yes, they saw it. The police were there about 6 o'clock. But they had a hard time isolating it.
Okay, so then this water main break was on city property.
Yes, in the corridor, right next to the road by a $1.8 million house that these people bought, yes.
And then that water, as it was overflowing, was what, flooding the landscape area, or like the soil area?
Landscape area, and it ended up into the basement.
Like through the window well covers and things like that?
No, through the physical basement of the tile work around the basement.
And this existing house, I assume, has like a sump pump and whatever, but it just could not keep up.
It had not only the regular, but the backup.
Right. So the one thing is, you've got this city break in a public way that then affects this, you know, flooding area here. Now, the whole thing about entering the home, I mean, you have to get permission to come into someone's house. You can't just go in there. Were the homeowner's home?
Right, yes. The lady did allow me to go in there.
Well, I know they allowed you to go in there, but you're just like a guy down the street.
Right, a private party.
Right. Now, the city, I mean, I could see where they'd want, but I mean, I would think that the only reason I bring this up is that I had something similar happen at my own home, where the city was working on a water pipe and they inadvertently cut a pipe they didn't know was there, and also cut my sewer line and flooded the basement. Now, and the line was in the public way. Now, the city ultimately, they did go into the basement after they knocked on the door, and they were able to, you know, stop the water as quickly as possible, and then ultimately made restitution for the damage that occurred.
This was clean water that was in the basement.
Right. But you're asking a bunch of different questions. So A, right. Yeah, they probably they have to get permission to come in there. And B, what their responsibility in this? It's an interesting one because, you know, the damage was on a public way that was not technically connected to this home in any way. So where the responsibility lies, I mean, I'm not quite sure. Again, I'm not an attorney.
May I say something?
Yeah.
When they built the home, they reconstructed a brand new home. They had a tie-in to that tie-in for the public access way. So they're thinking that's where it broke. But nobody can make a decision.
They had to tie. What are you talking about, for the water service or for the sewer?
Water and sewer. The sewer.
Right, but it was all. But I assume the home was all done with permits and the permission of the
beautiful $1.8 million home that sat on the property for about 14 months before it was sold. It's a beautiful home.
Right. So, but my point is that all that work and all those connections that you talk about were done within the auspices of getting the proper permits.
Yes, and that was on the city side, not on the property owner's side.
Correct. I mean, you know, again, I'm not an attorney, so I mean, I can't really get into the whole legality, but it's an unfortunate situation. I'm sure that the village and the city will address this, and hopefully there'll be some restitution. If not, I'm sure that the people that are lawyers will probably get involved. It's a little bit out of my pay grade as far as deciding who the legality of that all is. I'm sure that if I'm the homeowner, I'm like, this is the city's problem. What did you just do? So I think it's, you know, a discussion has to happen to find out where the responsibility lies and what happened, that without having more knowledge, it's hard for me to really comment on that. I appreciate the phone call. It's 9:23 in the morning.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show, right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Water and electric, and a place to drain the septic.
any KOA is A-okay as long as I'm with you. So come on, hit your wagon.
9:26 in the morning.
If I can't bring you to my
one last thank you to the Chicken and Farm Shop, which is located inside the Soho House, Chicago. And contrary to popular belief, it is completely open to the public. Do we have the exact address of the Soho House in Chicago?
It's on Green Street. I know that. Let me get it
Green, and yeah, get that too.
1113 North Green Street.
There you go.
1113 North Green
Street. No, 113, not 11.
What did I say? Oh, yeah.
113.
Yeah, just north of Madison.
Just north of Madison. You can follow them on Instagram at chickenshop.com.
In the Fulton Market District.
It's in the Fulton Market District, and the food is absolutely fantastic.
Legitimately.
Legit, really good stuff. So much so that it put Domati to sleep. How about Pablo's visiting? What is it? Pablo, give me a thumbs up for the chicken shop.
He's asking about the chicken shop.
Chicken shop, thumbs up.
Oh, it's good. It's great. I mean,
good and great. Good and great.
He can't decide.
Yeah, man, a few words.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, I can tell. He was going to town. And literally, John Williams had like that plate that you had to balance when he walked out. Have you seen John? I'm holding up my pinky. That's about how big the guy is. I just heard him on the radio this week says, sometimes I forget to eat. Now, he said that. He goes, sometimes I forget to eat. Like he goes the whole day. So now that he took that plate, he probably won't eat till Tuesday. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. By the way, this week on House Smarts, if you'd like to watch, tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning, we got this awesome segment on wood carving, some budget home design, and be sweet. That's all I'm going to tell you. Be sweet on Channel 9 at 10:30 in the morning on Sunday morning. All right, let's talk to Pat, who's in Chicago. Pat, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
How can I help you?
I was surprised to get through, but I did. I just moved into a one-bedroom apartment in Rogers Park Tuesday of last week.
Okay.
And this is my question, Lou. Regards, I control my central air conditioning and heater. Right when you took my call, I opened the closet where the furnace is. And this is my question. The hardwood floors, and I feel a lot of cold air coming up from there. Now, in order to be even moderately comfortable, I have turned the thermostat up to, it says like set time or whatever. I put it on 75. I'm looking right at it now, and it's 75 in the apartment as we speak. Now, what I'm wondering is, I was told the heating bill would be maybe 50 a month, 600 annual. Do you think I have it set up too high? This is forced air, by the way.
And you're in a, how big of the apartment?
One bedroom, I think it's about 750 square feet long.
Okay, and the furnace is in a closet in your own?
Right, in my own unit. I'm looking right at it right now.
Right, and are,
the door so I could.
And are you on a first floor, second floor?
I'm on the first floor. It's like a 10 steps up from where you come in the front door, and then I'm the first apartment on the west.
Okay. And is the home drafty? Like, are the windows old? Well, are the windows new?
The whole building, which is old, was rehabbed in 2013.
Okay.
And I liked the apartment the first time I saw it. That's why I applied to rent here. I'm a little scary now. I've been here since Tuesday afternoon, and I played with the thermostat. You know, I would reduce it to 68 at night, 70 in the day. It was freezing cold. So I yanked it back up again, 72, whatever. I'm sure that it's 750 square feet.
Okay, now let me. I'm going to back you up, because obviously the temperature that you set something at is a personal thing. In your old apartment that you lived in, did you control the heat there?
No.
You didn't.
I have never had a rental in my whole life that I controlled the heat.
Okay.
It was always included in the rent, like a baseboard.
Got
thing.
It. And in the last place that you lived, were you comfortable or were you always cold?
No, I was comfortable in the last place.
Okay.
The baseboards provided enough heat.
Got it.
I'm just afraid of getting hit with a really big heating bill.
Right.
In fact, the People's Gas called me the other day. After the guy read the meter, checked everything was okay, she says, what about your heat? And I said, well, it seems to be okay. It's working. And but I'm looking at the furnace right now, Lou. I've never seen anything like this. It's a narrow up and down furnace.
Right.
I can see two flames shooting out. It's kind of amazing to me because I've never controlled my own heat before.
Right.
And mind you, the air con is on the same thing. You switch from
right
hot to cool in the summer, right. And I'll figure that out when summer comes. I'm just kind of inquiring with you if I'm going to be leaving soon for a couple hours, and I was going to turn it down, which that seems to make sense. I think you'd agree. If I'm not here, but I'm wearing slippers, I'm keeping myself warm, wearing a sweater, mm-hmm. all this,
mm-hmm.
and right now, on the right, I'm looking at the thermostat as I talk to you. One second, grab my glasses if you just have a minute.
Sure.
Yeah.
Show's over at 10, don't worry.
Okay. I didn't expect to get through, that's why. All right,
hold on. I'm going to, one second, Pat. Here's the thing.
Sure.
On your furnace, obviously when you control the heat and the air, you want to eliminate as many drafts in the home as you possibly can. So
sure.
You're noticing that the floor is cold,
yeah.
In particular if you go and put your hand by the baseboards and you feel drafts coming through, if you take some clear caulking, even though you're a renter, and you caulk the baseboard to the floor to eliminate the drafts, that can certainly help. As far as the heat goes, adding humidity to the air will make you more comfortable and also probably allow you to lower the temperature on the thermostat. And so if that unit does not have a whole house humidifier attached to it, which it probably doesn't, you could buy a portable humidist, like a cool mist or even a warm mist, humidifier that you can use in a room that will add humidity to the air. And if you can keep that around 25% to 30% consistently, you'll see that you're a lot more comfortable in that home. I appreciate the phone call. I am just bumping up against time. It is 9:33 in the morning time now for WGN Radio News. Into the newsroom, here's Doma Tipongo.
Illinois State climatologist Jim Angel says January weather was colder and drier than normal in the state without much snow. The statewide average temperature last month was 24.1 degrees. That's about 2.3 degrees below normal. The ex-YE employee who sent a false missile alert last month says he's devastated about the panic he caused and that he believed it was a real attack at the time. The man in his 50s spoke to reporters on Friday on the condition of anonymity. He says he's been threatened. And safety first. The state fire marshal is urging Illinois residents to test smoke alarms and prepare a family emergency escape plan. This after an unusually high number of people died in fires last month. He says that people should test their smoke and carbon monoxide alarms monthly and change the batteries at least twice a year. He also urges people to have at least two ways to escape from a home in case of emergencies and never to use an oven to heat a home. Sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Do you have a cold breeze coming in from your windows? Call Cobblestone Development, Chicagoland's premier remodeler, and let them propose a solution. Now, whether you need new windows, siding, a bathroom, or kitchen, Cobblestone Development can help. With over 30 years of experience, their quality craftsmanship can't be beat. Take advantage of their winter window sale, 30% off vinyl, fiberglass, and wood windows through March 15th. Call 773-661-0606 or visit cobblestonedevelopment.com. Now, due to a significant increase in business, they're looking for experienced carpenters and project managers. Give them a call, 773-661-0606. 773-661-0606. Hey, how are those new interior doors looking that Cobblestone put in for you?
Oh, my gosh. Can I just tell you about my doors? Are we in the news?
Yeah.
Well, they're awesome. Night and day.
You're happy? They're doing a nice job for you?
Yes, and I can sleep. You know, doors really matter.
Yeah.
Our old doors were not very good, and we could hear everything through everybody's rooms, and the girls, you know, they sing and they cry, and it's...
Right. You're talking about the girls or talking about you?
Well, I sing and cry, I guess.
Yeah. We'll be back right after this. Wow, you just brought back a memory for me that I hadn't thought of in a long time. Your friend named Brandy. We had a dog named Brandy. He was an Irish setter. He fell down a ravine and died. Brandy.
I mean, when have you ever heard about a dog falling down a ravine and dying? I have to tell you, Brandy was not the smartest Irish setter.
So sad.
Poor Brandy.
Okay, thank you. Welcome back, 9:41 in the morning. Marilyn's in Schaumburg. Hi, Marilyn. You're on WGN.
Hi. Getting my house ready for sale, and I have some mold problems in my basement and in a crawl space in the garage. Who do you recommend for mold removal?
What kind of problems are we having?
Well, the mold in the basement is from, like, 20 years ago. We had PermaSeal come out 20 years ago and fix a leak in our basement. It's never happened again, but the mold is down there. And our realtor said we have to get that situation cleared before we even put it on the market.
Mm-hmm. But in other words, this is like dried up mold from 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have
is it on like the concrete walls?
It's on a plywood that's on the basement, the drywall?
It's on the drywall.
Yeah. And then we have some really bad mold in our garage in a crawl space. It's really bad in there. So I don't know who to call. We got to get this. And I'm sure it won't be covered under insurance.
No, I'm sure. No. I mean, there's several mold remediation companies. Lindsay, we talked with JC Restorations, right? JC Restorations. JC Restorations, I believe it's .com, and they work, where are you, Mary? We're in Schaumburg. Yeah, they work in the western suburbs. We'll find JCRestorations.com is their website. And do you want their phone number? Do you have a pencil? 800-956-8844.
Okay.
All right, give them a call, and they can probably come out and give you an estimate. Hey, are you or someone you know searching for a rewarding career? Consider the Sheet Metal Apprenticeship Program with Sheet Metal Workers 265, a Sheet Metal Apprentice could provide you with a rewarding career. You'll train in a state-of-the-art facility with professional instructors, and you'll receive hands-on experience in the sheet metal industry. To learn more about the apprenticeship program at Local 265 or to apply, visit smart265.org. That's smart265.org. Local 265 is an affirmative action and equal opportunity program.
Time for today's home and attacking your hardwood floors.
So how can you keep them shiny and new? Today, contributor Lou Manfredini. He's here with all kinds of tips that'll keep you on your knees.
And off your feet.
Off your feet or something like that. Lou is here.
Yes.
We're very happy about it.
Right. I'm feeling sexy and free.
Welcome back, 9:47 in the morning. Anne has a toilet, and she's in Oak Brook. Congratulations, Anne.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm a frequent caller.
Indoor plumbing is a wonderful thing. How can I help you?
Well, I have this toilet that decides to run. You know, it sounds as if you turn on the faucet and the water runs
when you
for a while, and then it stops.
What do you mean? You turn on the faucet in the vanity?
No, it sounds this way in the toilet itself. You know, in the water closet of the toilet.
So, in other words, the toilet is just sitting there, and then all of a sudden you hear the water start running.
Right.
Okay.
It sounds as though you turn down the faucet, and the water runs, then stops. And it will run for a varying length of time, sometimes a little longer, and sometimes a very short period of time.
Okay.
And it does this frequently during the hour.
We got to fix that.
I know.
Say that again.
My cousin did change the flapper.
Yeah.
But that did not solve the problem.
Right. And when you hear the water running, and it doesn't flush itself, correct?
No.
Okay. So my guess is there's two things that could be going on. The water level could be set too high in the tank. So when you take the lid off, you'll see a little tube that the flapper is connected to. and the water level should be about a half of an inch or an inch below the top of that pipe. Now, if you open up the top and you see the water's right at the top of that pipe, it could be that that water is leaking into the tube, which is where you're hearing it run a little bit. Now, that could be one issue.
Below but, it.
I'm sorry?
It's below that.
It is. Okay. So my other suggestion is you need to replace the fill valve. So that's the thing that's to the left of the tube that is actually how the water fills and lowers. That it is the valve itself is not sealing properly, and that's why it's turning itself on. It could be from a buildup of calcium or on there that's causing it not to operate properly. But that fill valve, you would turn the water off to the toilet, you'd flush the toilet, you'd clear out the water, and then that whole assembly unscrews. You go to the hardware store and say, I need one of these. You put that back together, you screw it on. That same cousin that did the flapper can easily do the fill valve for you. It's a $20 item.
I see. All right. Well, thank you very much.
What's the name of that cousin's name?
Marco.
Can you make him something to come over, like lunch or something?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, Marco's going to get a little lunch out of that. And I appreciate the phone call. 9:51 in the morning.
Happy trails to you.
This is time for Lou's last call. It's also Happy Trails to Sam with me. But I'll be listening to you on John Williams and tomorrow with Dino.
Yeah, you will.
So, and I, you know what? I get to Las Vegas all the time, so I'm going to come take you out to dinner and we'll have drinks in Vegas.
I'm looking forward to it.
By that time, you'll know everybody and all the places to go. Like, oh, I got this great hole-in-the-wall place off the strip, right? That's what I want.
My first anchor shift was with you, Radio Dad.
Really?
I was with you, yeah.
Congratulations.
April 2016. Where does the time go, right? It's been almost 2 years.
That's amazing. Well, congratulations. Good luck to you out in Vegas. It's a pleasure having you on the show, and bigger and better things. I'm looking forward to it for you.
Thanks for everything.
All right, our last call, as I said, is sponsored by Townstone Financial, and that last caller is Judy in Westchester. Hi, Judy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
I'm a first-time listener.
First-time listener?
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for listening.
Oh, I'm enjoying. I'm learning things.
That's great. How can I help you?
I have a 12-year-old Kenmore washer. It's a 800. The last Kenmore I had lasted 12 years with myself and three kids. And I was happy with that. This one, I tried to get a serviceman to come out because the washer does a little dance and moves out of place. It works so hard. It cleans my clothes. Mm-hmm. If I overload it, it will not wring out real well. So I don't do that anymore.
Okay.
But I couldn't get anybody to give me advice on what I need to do. If I have to go and replace it, I will. But I thought since it's still doing a good job, there must be something I can do to keep it more stationary.
Is it a top loader?
Yes, it is.
All right. And how old is it?
12 years.
Okay. So here's the thing that happens to those top loads over time. So if you can imagine, you've got that drum that, you know, is spinning, like a merry-go-round.
Right.
And in the center, it sits on top of basically a transmission. There's the thing that has it spinning almost like a top.
Okay.
But then when the front cover comes off, there are typically three springs that hold that drum. You know, so when it's spinning and it moves a little bit, it allows it to move a little bit, you know, kind of back and forth so
okay.
that and those springs after 12 years of Judy
yes.
overloading it,
yes.
They're not as strong anymore.
Okay.
And so many times that fix is as simple as having a repair person come and replace those springs. Some of them actually have an adjustment on them. So there's like a almost like a group of teeth underneath there that you can click, click, click and tighten up the existing springs.
Oh, okay.
So that absolutely is possible. And You know, it would
be. I just hate to get rid of something that's still working well.
No, 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 understood. But, you know, it sounds like it's something you would need some help with. So if you would call an appliance repair company and say, look, I've got this issue. I have this friend of mine that said, you know, it's 12 years old and my springs on my drum may need to be either replaced or adjusted. Is that something you can help me with? And if the person says, oh, yeah, Judy, that's fine. Yeah, we can come out, you know, in 2 days, whatever. And it'll, you know, the service call may cost you $150 or so, but it can be fixed if it's working just fine. And usually the replacement of those springs will do the trick. Appreciate the phone call. Hey, today, young people are burdened by staggering student loan debt. The Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters offers an affordable option. As a carpenter's apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. You'll have access to continuing education and certification programs that will provide you with the cutting-edge skills that employers demand. Plus, you'll receive health care for your family and a great pension. To learn more about the Carpenter's Apprentice Program, log on to chicap.org. That's chicap.org. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Thank you, Lindsay, for producing, Sam for doing the sports, Domati for doing the news, Pablo for eating the chicken and waffles. Nice to have you all here. And John Williams.
Yep.
Are you awake?
Yep.
Are you full?
My CFO called me this morning and she goes, boy, Lou is really doing it for Sam. Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, what'd you get me?
Now, when you see, now you're greedy, Sam. Don't say
so
that.
So I said, okay, thanks. I'll run over to Walgreens.
Did you get him one of the little bears with the heart?
Turns out, Mr. Fix-It, that I do have, and there will be a presentation.
It's not a competition, John.
The problem with having Lou Manfredini as a friend is that it is. And so I have a presentation for one Sam Panionovich that is so fantastic. It's going to make everybody want to quit.
Are you doing like your best Donald Trump? It's going to be amazing.
Tremendous.
Tremendous? Is it going to be tremendous?
Nice show today, Mr. Fix-It.
Love you, John.
Love you.